Thinking back over the summer's struggle, I take some comfort from the observation that there are members of Congress who, apart from any political or economic motives they may have for supporting the Super Collider, are really interested in the science that it would do. One of them is Senator Bennett Johnston of Louisiana, who organized the pro-Super Collider side of the debate in the Senate. His home state had an important economic interest in building magnets for the Super Collider, but beyond that, he is an enthusiastic science buff, as demonstrated in his eloquent speech on the Senate floor. The same intellectual excitement with science can be found in statements made by other members of Congress, such as Senator Moynihan of New York, and Kerry of Nebraska, and Congressman Nadler of Manhattan, and Gephardt of Missouri, and by the President's science advisor Jack Gibbons. In May, I was one of the group of physicists who met with freshman members of Congress. After others had explained the valuable technological experience to be gained by building the Super Collider, I remarked that, though I did not know much about politics, I thought that one should not forget that there are many voters who are sincerely interested in the fundamental problems of science, apart from any applications to technology. A congressman from California then commented that he agreed with me about just one thing, that I didn't know much about politics. A little later, a congressman from Maryland came into the room, and after listening to the discussion of technological spin-offs for a while, remarked that one should not forget that many voters are interested as well in the fundamental problems of science. I went away happy. The Super Collider debate also prompts reflections that are less cheerful. For centuries, the relations between science and society have been governed by a tacit bargain. Scientists generally want to make discoveries that are universal, or beautiful, or fundamental, whether or not they can foresee any specific benefit to society. Some people who are not themselves scientists find this sort of pure science exciting, but society, like the congressman from California, has generally been willing to support work in pure science mostly because it expects that it will yield applications. This expectation has generally proved correct. It is not that any work in science is liable occasionally to stumble onto something useful. Rather, it is just that when we push back the frontiers of knowledge, we expect to find things that are really new. And that may be useful, in the way that radio waves and electrons and radioactivity have turned out to be useful. And the effort to make these discoveries also forces us into a sort of technological and intellectual virtuosity that leads on to other applications. But now, this bargain seems to be unraveling. It is not only some members of Congress who have lost confidence in pure science. The struggle for funds has led some of the scientists themselves